Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't know. I must have done something right today. Came in and found me. I had me some fancy water. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So glory to God. If you see me drinking the fancy water, it's not because we've been taking up special offerings or anything like that. Just because somebody wanted to bless us, I guess. Hallelujah. And I'm blessed by it. Hallelujah. Because I mean, you know, when you get water from Fiji, that's a lot better than water from America. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't know why it's good, but it's good. Amen. Hallelujah. That's probably why they charge another 50 cents for it or something. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Were you glad you came to church today? Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, it's been good already if you only came for this. But I know you came for more, so I'm going to continue on with that. Amen. I'm not going to leave you disappointed. I'm not going to leave you there wanting. Praise the Lord. You came in hungry today, so you're going to leave filled. Amen. You came in hungry and thirsty today, so you're going to leave full of righteousness. Hallelujah, because God loves you. I love you. Hallelujah. That's why we do this thing. Amen. You know, my wife was up here talking about how you know how we love it when we see people blessed. Hallelujah. And that is our goal. This is why we do what we do. Amen. It's because we love to see people blessed. And I know that the Word of God works. I know that it works every time. I know how it works. Praise the Lord. I'm learning more so how it works. But I know that God wants you blessed. I know that God wants me blessed. Praise the Lord. Why? Because He's our Father and He loves us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so my job is to stand here and teach you. Amen. I'm what's called a shepherd. Amen. That's what pastor means. Praise the Lord. But you know, the shepherd, I was thinking about this during announcements, that the shepherd does not make the sheep eat. The shepherd will show them where the food is. The shepherd will take them to the green pasture. But the sheep have to decide whether or not they want to eat. Praise the Lord. And if you're sitting there in the congregation today, well, praise God, you're a sheep today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's not a bad thing. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Amen. And that's what God, it's the way that Jesus set things up. God set things up. But He wants you fed. Amen. And so today you're going to get fed. We got some good word for you today. Praise the Lord. This message, I have been in and out of this message all week long. And I'll just tell you that there's been some things that have been burning in me, and I haven't even known quite how to put it all together, but I'm excited for it. And I'm just going to tell you that if you will get excited for it and you will draw on that, praise the Lord, that we'll believe God to have everything that He has for us. Amen. I believe that this is a full 7-course meal here. Praise God. And we're going to try to eat it in an hour. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you glad you came to church today? Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, today's message is called Desire for Faithfulness. Faithfulness is a huge, 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 huge thing. Faithfulness is a very, very important thing. You notice, the Bible says, we've talked about this so many times, but without faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faithfulness is literally just being full of faith. Hallelujah. Faithfulness is just everything that being in faith encompasses. Amen. Faithfulness, when we look at faithfulness, that shows our faith. Hallelujah. We will only know our faith by our faithfulness. Amen. Faithfulness is an incredibly important thing, and is an incredibly important thing to God. So much so that He is the faithful one. He has called Himself the faithful one. Praise the Lord. One of the fruits of the Spirit is faithfulness. Faithfulness is what God desires from all of us. Amen. Faithfulness is an incredibly important thing to a local body. It is an incredibly important thing to a Christian. Amen. You will not live all that God has for you without faithfulness. You can say, well, I go to church. You can say that I do this, I feed the poor. But without faithfulness, none of it matters. Without being faithful, none of it matters, praise God. And we're going to get into this today. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 4:2. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 4:2. And this is interesting because I got a lot of one-liners today. You know what I mean? I got one. A lot of times, sometimes I'll come and I'll have like, you know, 15 scriptures in one section and 15 scriptures in another section. But today I have a lot of single scriptures. But praise God, I believe the Lord to get the message out, because there's something He's saying in that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we know that context, the reason a lot of times we bring so many scriptures is because context is very important. But these scriptures, they do stand on their own in the sense of what they're saying. Amen? And so that's why we can use it. Occasionally we have a scripture, you have a scripture like says, God is love. Amen? Well, that can stand on its own. It doesn't need 15 other scriptures to back it up. It just, you can understand it. Amen? So 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Amen. Steward is not the name of your next door neighbor. Hallelujah. Steward is not your friend down the street. Steward, a steward, praise the Lord, that's steward. This is steward. So steward is somebody who takes care of something. Amen. Now we know this, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof is God's. It belongs to Him. Everything that's created was created for Him and by Him. Amen. You don't own anything. Nothing. I don't care how hard you think you work. You don't own it because it wasn't yours to begin with. Amen. You can say, well, I earned this. You didn't earn nothing because God gave you the breath. He gave you the ability. He gave you the body. He gave you everything to set you up in order to do it. You say, well, I'm a farmer. I went out and I sowed and I planted. Well, God gave you the seed and then He gave it the ability to grow and He gave you the sun and the rain. Hallelujah. You have nothing without God. Amen. Even the unjust, even the people who don't serve God, have only because of what God has given them, because God is good. Amen. God has given us all a measure to start with. Amen. Well, sometimes people want to walk in the full measure of what God has, but they're not willing to do the full measure of what God has for them to do. And see, this is what we have to understand. You cannot receive from God if you are an unfaithful person. I said you cannot receive the fullness of God if you are an unfaithful person. If you will not be faithful, if you will not be a good steward. A steward is somebody who keeps track of something. If I leave town and I say, hey, I need you to come watch my house, and you come over and you're watching my house, you have become a steward of my house. And if you are not a good steward of my house, when I get back, I'm not going to be happy about it. Amen? Praise the Lord. I remember when I was younger and I wasn't living right, and my mom left town. I was a teenager, and she come back, and I wasn't a good steward of the house that she left me. Amen. But we want to be good stewards. The Bible says that moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Now, we also know this other principle from the Word, that if you are not faithful with a little, you will not be faithful with much. And so if you're not faithful with a little, God ain't going to give you much. God has intended for every one of His children to be fully supplied with everything, never having any instance of lack in their life. The reason that many of His children don't or go without is because they have not been faithful. We have to understand God, faithfulness is very important to God. It is everything to God. We need to be faithful. We need to be full of faith. The only way to do that is to do what the Word says. Moreover, it is required in stewards. It is required. It's a requirement. He will not go without. It is a must. You have to do this. It is required in stewards to be found faithful. If you are not found faithful, you will not be entrusted with anything. If the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and He is not here in the sense that He is not physically here, He is spiritually here, but He's not physically here. What has He done? He has left us to be faithful stewards over His work. That's what God, see, this is what so many people don't understand about the kingdom of God and the way things work. They think, well, you get this religion that says this and this denomination that says this. But see, the thing is, all they have to do is turn to the Word and look at what the Word says. God has left humans in charge of the earth. He created us to rule and reign over the earth. He did not create the earth to be run by Him up there pulling puppet strings. That's not how the earth works. And so many Christians foolishly believe that. Why do they believe that? Because they don't get the Word. They're not good stewards of the Word. We've been given a Word, but so many people just cast it aside. They don't even look at it. Praise the Lord. You know, I have my sister Becky back. Well, she went out with the baby, but she's just a precious, precious sister in the faith. And she asks us questions all the time. You know, we have other people. We have a sister, Jess. She always likes to ask questions. You know, that blesses us. It blesses us that people that want to know more about the Word, that want to understand more about what God has for them. Amen. See, like, God doesn't expect you to know everything, but that shows hunger. That shows drive. When people are curious about, you know, let me ask you more about this. Like, if you get around me out there in the fellowship area and you just want to hear about, cookies or you want to hear about, not the football game, because I ain't going to talk about that anyway, even if you ask me, because praise the Lord. But, you know, no matter what you're going to ask me, we can do that kind of stuff, but you're not going to get the fullness of what God has for you. See, God has things He wants us to get. He has things He wants us to understand. Amen? Faithfulness is persistence. Faithfulness is persistence. It is something that you don't just do once. It's something that you do over and over and over. People are faithful in a lot of things. Sometimes people are faithful to the world. How do we know? Because what they spend their time doing. You know, there's people that are faithful to the TV. There are people that are faithful to family members, that they will do they will do what they want to do, or they will do what they think they have to do for family above the house of God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. God called us to be part, not just, see, this is the thing. God didn't just call us to be a part of a church. The church is part of us. That's the way it's supposed to be. I'm not just talking about church, going to church or whatever, but I'm talking about everything that involves a religion. Should not just be, consecration is not just for pastors. It is for every child of God. See, people want to walk in the fullness of God. Is there anyone here that doesn't want to be healthy? Yeah. Is there anyone here that wants to be poor? No. Raise your hand if you want to be poor. You want God to give and take away. Who wants God to give and take away? Who wants to lose something that they prize so dearly? Praise the Lord. But see, people don't want to lose stuff, but people aren't always, and I'm not saying you guys, I'm just saying in general, we're talking about faithfulness, amen? People don't want to lose stuff, but they're not willing to do the things they got to do to keep it. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you aren't good stewards this society's getting kind of crazy, but for in general, if you weren't a good steward over your child, somebody came and took that child out of your home. Why? Because you weren't doing the things that were necessary to protect that child and to nurture that child and to raise that child. Amen. But see, the same thing is with the things of God. We think that we'll just get from God whatever He wants to give us. God said He wants to give us everything. There's nothing that God withholds. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who love Him. The Bible says that. Praise the Lord. No good thing does the Lord withhold. So how do you think God's taken from? God ain't taking nothing from you. You're giving up because you're not being a good steward. Praise the Lord. You're not being faithful to what God has you to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, speaking of faithfulness, do you respect unfaithful people? Think about it as your spouse. If you're married, or if you've been married, or if you know somebody who's married, praise the Lord, you can understand this. Or if you watch, Oprah, you can probably understand this. What's it like when people aren't faithful? Do you respect a person who's not faithful? Do you respect a spouse that's not faithful? No, what's a spouse who's not faithful doing? They're constantly looking somewhere else. They're constantly after something else. They don't want what you have so much, so they only want what you got when they want what you have. But then when they don't want what you have, they're off wanting something else. This is what unfaithfulness is. See, and this is why we preach so strongly for marriage. Because what God intended marriage to be is an example, an earthly example of our covenant with Him. It's the same, they parallel each other. They mirror each other. Our faithfulness to our spouse also indicates our faithfulness to our God. If you won't be faithful to your spouse, you aren't faithful to God. I can tell you that right now. I can tell you this. If you're not faithful to God, you're not faithful to your spouse. Ooh, ooh, ouch, ouch, hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. If you're not faithful to your God, you're not faithful to your spouse. You're not faithful to your children. You're not faithful to anybody but your own whims and your own desires. God wants us. He needs us to be faithful. If we want to be, listen, and this isn't like some people get sad when you preach a message like this, but the truth of this is it will take you higher. If you put these things to practice that we're talking about, if you learn how to be a faithful person, the reason that I can stand before you today is because somebody taught me how to be a faithful person, and I started being a faithful person. Yeah. Amen? If you start being faithful, you will get the things that faithfulness gives. Yeah. What does faithfulness give? Every promise that is written in Scripture. Yeah. Every promise. Every promise. Do you need something in your life? It starts with your faithfulness. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Faithfulness proves everything. So if you wouldn't respect an unfaithful person, why on earth would you think that God would? See, people all the time are unfaithful to God, and they understand unfaithfulness. They understand how much unfaithfulness hurts. And yet they go to God in prayer, but they give God nothing. The only time they go to God is, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Not going to God, Lord, worship You because You're so good. I love You, Lord. I praise You, Lord. People think we're crazy because we're a church that praises. And although the Bible says, keeps saying over and over and over again how we should praise the Lord, that means verbally open your mouth and say something. But if you can't do that, you're unfaithful. Yeah, you're unfaithful to God. You don't have revelation yet of what He's done for you. If you can't stand in a church service and praise God when you're singing a song about Jesus dying for you, You're unfaithful. Why? It isn't about you. See, this is the thing. So many people, well, that's not the way I want to do it. It's not about you. See, this is a society that we've been raised in to make everything about you, but it is not about you. If it's all about you, child, you are so far lost that we got to have a hard time bringing you back. It ain't about you. It's not about what you want. Now, God will give you the desires of your heart. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be full. But it still ain't about you. It still isn't all about you. And see, that's what happens. Why won't somebody come to church? Because it's all about them. Why won't somebody serve when they're supposed to serve? Because it's about them. Listen, serving isn't always fun. It isn't always easy. But we serve because that's what Jesus did. We serve because it's good. My family has been taught and raised to serve because that's what we do. Amen? Praise the Lord. We will reap the benefits of that. Now, I'm not saying we're the only ones because there's lots of people that serve. Praise the Lord. We got lots of people in this church that are just such good servers. Hallelujah. They just with all their heart, they serve. And you know who they are. I don't have to sit there and pick at you and show you. You know who they are. You see them. Amen. Some of them, you don't see what they do because they serve behind the scenes. Praise God. There's people that come in here during the week and make sure everything is clean and everything is tidy. They're serving God. They're being faithful. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's easy to do something once or twice. It's easy to just start doing something. It's easy when you first get going. It's easy to come to church when you first come. But sometimes down the road, it's not easy to keep going. Sometimes things come up, or sometimes things come against you. Sometimes you don't feel like you can. But see, what people don't realize is that when they neglect the house of God, and I'm not just talking about not coming. I'm talking about being connected to the house of God. You are not connected to something that you don't give any time to. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not just talking about sitting here on Sundays or serving. I'm talking about, where is it in your priority? Where is it in your thinking, first and foremost? I'm not even talking about what you do. Let's just put that aside so nobody gets upset at me. But we'll just talk about, what do you think about? If you go all week long and you're like, oh, wait, well, there's church. I guess there's church tomorrow. I probably better go. Then even if you come, you're still not connected. There's people that sit in church every day of their lives and are not connected to the local body. Sitting in church doesn't make you any more of a Christian than being in a garage makes you a car, praise the Lord. It's the truth. Do you go out there and live it? Being a Christian, see, people want from God. They want God to set them free. They want God to help them. They want God to help their finances. They want God to heal them. But then what do they give God? They give Him nothing. They give Him nothing, and then they wonder why they don't receive. You know, James says, you have not because you ask not. And if you ask and you don't receive, it's because you ask amiss, hoping to just spend it on your own pleasures. Listen, if you want to be wealthy just so you can just be rich, so you can just go buy whatever you want and have whatever you want? Well, praise the Lord. You have no idea of covenant between you and God. You have no idea what He's provided. People go out all the time. The Bible says He gives seed to the sower. Some people get lots of money. They go out and they just spend it on themselves. They spend all their seed. God wanted them richer. They didn't even know it. See, that's the way the kingdom principles work. They say, you know, people, and again, I bring this up. People can say, you know, they'll say, well, you're just after, like, listen, if you know me for more than 10 seconds, you know I'm just not after your money. So if you think that, you know, deal with it yourself or go somewhere else, I don't care. But my point is that we want to help people. Our goal, the reason we do what we do is so we can get people helped. And so people leave here, our goal is that people would leave here full, so when they go out there and live, they live in the fullness of God. So they have the fullness of everything that they need, so they can take this to the world and get more people saved, bring more people in that need the same thing that they need. Hallelujah. I think so often about, just Lord brought it to my remembrance, but our dear brother and sister John and Liz, praise God. God has brought them so far through what He has done through a connection. Amen. And just through that connection, they decided to get connected. And I even remember a time when just Liz came, before her daughter, her husband, praise the Lord, came, before her son, praise the Lord, when it was just Liz was here. And I remember seeing that struggle, because you can see it on people sometimes, that struggle where she wanted God, and she wanted to do the things of God, but everybody else wasn't quite on board yet. You know what I'm saying? because we all go through that. And I remember you can see people at that apex, that place of decision making, where they're going to go one way or the other. And I remember specifically in Liz's life, I remember seeing that moment. And I remember even 1 week when it became really clear, 1 week she didn't come. It was after she started coming. It was 1 week she didn't come. And we knew that she was going through something. I don't know if we knew naturally or by the Spirit, but we knew that she was going through something. And I remember me and my wife even thinking about it or talking about it, like, this is that moment where she makes a decision. Praise the Lord. Well, if she hadn't continued being faithful, she passed the test because she came back and came back. If she hadn't been faithful, then her husband wouldn't be her husband and he wouldn't be here. If she hadn't been faithful, then her daughter might not be here at all. Hallelujah. Her son would not be here. Praise the Lord. See, it's faithfulness that makes things happen. I'll let somebody else do it and then, you know, that's not it. Where is your heart connected to? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's easy to do things once or twice, but it's not easy. It's not always easy to continue in them. Faithfulness is proven when you've done that. You know, Pastor Michael has often said that faithfulness is not proven in days, weeks, or months. It's proven in years. Hallelujah. We have not been here long enough to prove ourselves faithful as a church. Hallelujah. We've only been here for a few years. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's people that have done, you know, we don't know what it's going to look like in 10 years. We can have a church of 1,000 people here. We don't know. We don't know, but our faithfulness will prove it out. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know, maybe they put something in my fancy water today. I'm excited for the word. Proverbs 19:22. Hallelujah. Proverbs 19:22. God is so good. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. I love the word. I love the word because it's always right. You know, you can argue with me all you want, but the word is always right. We go right back to the word and we say, hey, you're wrong because the word says this. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's the truth. Amen? You ain't always got to be right. The word's got to be right. Amen? That's why God makes it easy to be a preacher. If you're a Holy Ghost preacher, it makes it real easy because he just gives you the word and says, here, listen to this or don't listen to it. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. But you will have according to what you do. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm in Proverbs 20. Proverbs 19:22. Praise God. Hallelujah. What is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. See, God wants you poor. That's twisted scripture, by the way, when you say that. That's not what it's saying. It's like if you're going to be a liar, then being poor is much better than being a liar. It's not saying that it's bad to be rich. It's just saying that it's better to be poor than it is to be a liar. Amen? But that word kindness, it's really interesting, and the translation isn't perfect here. But when you look that up in the original Hebrew, that word kindness means goodness and faithfulness. What is desired in a man is faithfulness. What is desired in a man is faithfulness. I'm not preaching some obscure thing here. I'm not pulling, and we're going to use other scriptures as well. You can look it up yourself if you don't believe me. Get your Strong's Concordance out and then click on word and look up the word and see what it says, but that's exactly what it means. Praise the Lord. What is desired in a man is faithfulness. It doesn't matter, and really kindness falls in that category anyways. Kindness is faithfulness, because if you're truly kind, truly being kind isn't doing something once and then, praise the Lord, you did something once. Listen, if you do something once, it don't matter. It doesn't matter what you did once. What matters is what you make it. And this is a concept all through Scripture. It does not matter what you do once. What matters is what your heart. Because whatever's in your heart is what's going to come out. If your heart is faithful, if you have faithfulness in your heart, then everything that comes out of you will be faithfulness. You won't just do something once. I'm saying you might give so-and-so $100 once or something like that. But if you're a faithful giver, you're not just going to give to one person once. You're going to give to people all the time. Amen? That's what the Bible's called us to be. I hate cheap Christians. Hate it. I don't hate them, but I hate the concept of cheap Christians. God has given us everything. He's given us all provision. Yet Christians will go out there and be the cheapest people in the world. I see this all the time when people who, especially, we end up eating out a lot just because of the nature of what we do. And I'm telling you right now, one thing I can't stand is tipping cheap. I don't like tipping cheap. I tip 20% plus when I go to any restaurant, doesn't matter. Why do I do that? Because I love them and I want to speak about my God. Well, I don't necessarily sit there and say Jesus did this. You know, there's stupid Christians that have gone out and left a Bible tract instead of a tip. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, you just keep your Bible tracts yourself and stop being an idiot because you make the rest of us look like that. That's exactly what you do. When you the Bible says a generous soul shall be watered. What does that mean? It means you go out in the world and you be generous. You be generous with people because your God is generous with you. You say, well, I don't have a lot. You can find something to give. You can find some way to give to people all the time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what the whole purpose of giving is. God is so loved the world, he gave. And yet Christians act like we're his children and we're not supposed to. Well, I better hoard this to myself. I better keep this. No, listen, if you've been given much, then you give much. Hallelujah. I don't want to leave any money behind. No, I want to give it all away. Praise the Lord. Sorry, kids. No, the Bible does say that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Praise the Lord. But see, the Bible also says that if you give, as you give, the measure that you give will be used to be given back to you. Yeah. So if you want of God, listen, I tell people this all the time. If you need something in an area, if you're like, well, I don't know how I'm going to make my mortgage payment, then sow into somebody else's mortgage. Yeah. Wait a minute. You mean give some of my money that I don't have and give it to someone else? Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Yeah. If you want more increase in somewhere, you know, this was being spoken in my spirit this morning. But what you honor, you participate in. I hope I get to preach a message about it. I was thinking about it next week. I hope I do. But what you honor, you participate in. What you honor, the word honor, as it's used in the scripture, is always tied to repayment or payment. Yeah, because put your money where your mouth is, right? Praise the Lord. If you want God to bless you in your finances, be a generous giver. If you want people to bless you, then be a generous giver. Give to people all the time. You know who givers are. Amen? Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not just talking about it at the church. Be a generous giver at church, but be a generous giver to other people too. Hallelujah. My wife and I, we keep track of not every single penny that every person that we give it to, but we keep track of our finances and what we put out. All the we keep a loose record of it. Why? So we know that whether we're doing better than what we did last year or not. Sure. Praise the Lord. We always are striving to give more. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going on a trip this week. I'm going to serve my pastor. Praise the Lord. And one of the things I asked my wife for this morning, because she does the budget, takes care of all that, I said, is there money in the budget that I can take, I want to take X amount of money to this person and X amount of money to this person? And that's already above giving X amount of money that we already plan to give to other people. Praise the Lord. On this trip, yeah. I'm going to serve, so I'm going to serve, and I'm taking money to give to people. Why? Because I honor that. What you honor, you participate in. If you want something out of something, you start honoring it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. How we get on that? What is desired of a man is faithfulness. Praise the Lord. If you are faithful, listen, I can sum up every problem that Christians have and they get out of or don't get out of down to their faithfulness. God never lets a faithful person be put to shame. If you're truly faithful, he never lets a faithful person be put to shame. Nobody who loves God so greatly and gave to God and was just an incredible faithful person to God never has been put to shame. Amen? Praise the Lord. If they did, they gave up early, but that's on them, not God. Praise God. People say, if I had $1 million all the time, he said, if I had $1 million, I'd do this. If I had $1 million, I'd do that. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. How do I know this? Because if you don't do it now when you don't have $1 million, you won't do it then when you got $1 million. What you do now is what you'll do then. Why? Because your faithfulness is not about whether you've got money, whether you've got things, whether you've got ability. Faithfulness is about what your heart says, I will do. Yeah, all the time. That's exactly what people want. God to Lord, help me out of this situation. Help me out of this situation. And they are never faithful to God, and then they wonder why they don't have. Again, I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about in all areas. Praise the Lord. They want their family to be saved. Are you faithful to God's family? Praise the Lord. Are you faithful to, you want this help and that help, but are you faithful to the kingdom of God? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. People say, if I had $1 million all the time. No, you wouldn't, because you're not faithful with what you have. You have to be, the Bible says, like, this is the principle of the word. You first be faithful with what you have, and then he will make you steward over much. If you want much, you got to be faithful over a little. That's the only way. He ain't giving. See, this is the thing about God. This is what's so awesome about God. God already proved himself. We aren't waiting for God to come through. Some Christians are, and those are foolish Christians that don't know the word. But if you're waiting for God to come through, you need to get that stinking thinking cleaned up, and you got to start thinking about the word of God. The word of God tells us God already did it. He already came through. He already did it. He already paid the price. What did Jesus say? He said it was done. It's done. It's already done. We ain't waiting for God to be faithful. He's waiting for you to be faithful. And if you won't be faithful, then you aren't going to see any more than what God has. If you will not be a good steward over a little, he will not make you a good steward over much. You won't have it. You can sit there spinning your wheels. You can sit there trying the rest of your life trying to make it happen. See, this is the thing about Christians, and this is the thing that I love and despise about Christians. Praise the Lord. We have to go around the same tree all the time. Why do we go around the same tree all the time? Because people need it. This is the way we are. I include myself in this. I'm not just saying, I'm saying people, and I'm a people, right? Amen. But we go around the same tree all the time. Why does sometimes God has to take us all the way out here just to get right here. Yeah. Sometimes we want to just take a step, and this is where we want to be, and God wants us to be there, but he has to take us all the way over here because of us. Not because of him, because of us. Yeah. See, one thing, God is patient. And God is willing to let us go through a little bit of hell if that's what we require to get to where we're going. God isn't desiring that we all go through hell, but he is willing to let you go through hell if that's what you require to get to. That's what I had to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to tell you what, right now. You get real serious about God when all of a sudden disease and destruction starts hitting your family. See, in America, we're a little bit spoiled. But I'm telling you, there's coming a time even in this country when people who aren't serving God, I've heard of great men and women of God who would have visions of foreign troops being on this soil, taking the children, the sons and daughters of people. Praise the Lord. Taking them. Yeah, like, you see, we don't have to face these things yet. And people can reject it and say, well, you know, whatever, I don't believe all that. Well, don't believe all that. But when it happens, don't come crying. I'm telling you right now. See, that's exactly what happened with actually happened in this country with the previous two elections. People don't realize the hell that was unleashed in this country because of the president we had for 8 years. Yeah, people don't realize the absolute destruction in our society because of that stuff. I'm not talking about politically. I'm talking about what actually happened. You wonder why the homosexual agenda is running rampant? This is why. And people see, the thing is, the church the whole time was sitting there and saying, oh, blah, 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 this and that. But see, it's the church's fault because they weren't faithful enough to pray. When you're faithful to pray, you get the answers, the desires of your heart. God will protect you if you're faithful to seek after him, if you're faithful to go after what God has. Faithfulness is required of stewards. You have been given the blood of Jesus, and you are a steward of that blood. That's exactly what it is. People take it lightly all the time. They think, well, I'd maybe like to say something to somebody about what God's done for me. But, you know, at the same time, I'm real busy right now. I got to go do this, and I got to go do that. And Jesus died for you. He gave you his blood. And you're sitting there, and you put it in your back pocket and forget about it like it doesn't matter. That's what people do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Faithfulness. Praise the Lord. You think that money issue... You think you have a money issue, but what you have is a character issue. Why do I bring this up? Because one of the biggest issues in marriages is finances. One of the biggest issues in marriages is finances. One of the biggest reasons that marriages, people divorce is either finances, it's religion, or it's family, or it's sex. It's one of those four things, generally. But one of the biggest ones is finances. One of the biggest thing that people are after, finances. Why do you do this? I guarantee you that probably a big portion of why you go to work every day is probably for what? Money. Why do you work a job? I worked a job I hated for 13 and a half years. Why did I work it? I had a family. I needed money to support that family. I hated every single day of it. Faithfulness. I was faithful to my family. What about these people that have families and they did one job here, one job there, one job here, just in and out? No, you do what you got to do to support your family. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hated going to work every day. I don't think you understood that. I hated it. I despised it. But I did it because I had a family who wanted to eat. Amen. I had a family who liked being warm when it got cold outside. So I was faithful to that. Praise the Lord. See, that's exactly what people think that their issue is this or that. But their issue really is the faithfulness. Their faithfulness. God said he would supply all our needs. God said he has healed us already. God said all these things, but where are we faithful to him? And when we're not, then we wonder why we don't have. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. My goal is not to make you sad today. This should be stirring us up and saying, wait a minute. Yeah. All I got to do is get faithful. All I got to do is stop doing the stuff I did before, because you know that didn't work. How do we know that? Because you're sitting here wondering why that didn't work and how to get out of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's be honest. The biggest reason most people come to church is because something has happened. People don't come to God when things are good, generally. And this is sad, but it's the truth. But people don't come to God when things are good. They only come to God when their life is falling apart. They need answers. I've seen absolute atheists come to me and be like, what's the answer? Well, I thought you didn't believe in God. I thought you didn't want anything to do with God. But see, when they see that there might be an answer, well, then, hallelujah. Sometimes that's what I was saying about when I was bringing up the last thing, the stuff we dealt with that administration for 8 years, is that sometimes the things that you get, you got to deal with because you weren't faithful, and you're going to go through that period of time. Praise the Lord. I know that a mighty man of God, Reverend Greer, who's been in this church. Praise the Lord. The Lord told him, he was praying about the second presidential election. That second election, he started praying to the Lord, and he said, the Lord Jesus appeared before him and said, I don't want to hear anymore about that. He said, people got what they wanted. Because they wouldn't pray, they got it. And that's exactly what they got. That's exactly what they dealt with. And that's exactly why we had what we had. That's exactly why we got a mess right now that we're trying to clean up, and everybody's going every which way. That's exactly why we have race wars and riots all over the place. Nobody get along. Why do you think it is? Because we've had people that have been doing nothing in this country but driving all that stuff apart. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about what actually happened. I'm talking about what's actually going on. Have you not noticed in this world, in this nation, that there's a whole lot of things? When did we ever get to a place where communism was considered acceptable? But the last few years. Why do you think that is? Praise the Lord. Well, I know we probably blame it on President Trump or something like that, but the truth is it wasn't him that did it. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's not a throw out to him, a bone to him. I'm just saying that we got to say, see, we can't be stupid people. We got to look at things the way that they actually are and understand things the way that they are. When you have a society that constantly gives up on everything that's right, when things like homosexuality are not just accepted, but now they're promoted to the place where they're pushing it on people. Oh, yeah, you have to believe this. You have to receive this. You have to accept this. Yeah, absolutely we don't. Praise the Lord. And this person ain't ever going to do that. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's not, and we're not coming down seeing this. Oh, you're haters. Why? Because I'm preaching angry? I'm preaching angry against sin. I'm tired of sin. I'll preach angry against any sin. Are you out there fornicating, committing adultery? I'll preach against you too. I don't care. Hallelujah. You out there doing drugs? Are you out there drinking? Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's not of God, as the Bible says. It's not for kings and priests to drink. And yet Christians are tipping them back, one right after another, thinking, well, Jesus freed me of those. Oh, Jesus, he turned water into wine, so Jesus must want me to get trashed every weekend. No. Praise the Lord. They wonder why God don't work in the faithfulness. They're faithful to the Bible. They're more faithful to a bar than they are to their God. They're more faithful to family events or this or that. I won't have any part of it. Right. Praise the Lord. Right. I had a close person in my family. I remember this. This was a decision I had. They were having a bachelor party. Praise the Lord. And they said, you got to come to it. And I said, no, I ain't going to it. Why? Because first of all, if you're getting married, you ain't a bachelor, number one. If you're getting married, you're already committed to someone else. You don't get to be a bachelor anymore. You don't get to go out and whore around for one last night. That's disgusting, and you aren't serious. You ain't faithful about the marriage. I might not show up to a wedding you have a bachelor party just because that's how strongly I feel about it. You're an idiot if you have a bachelor party. Praise the Lord. If you had a bachelor party, well, I'm sorry, but you were an idiot. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But that's the truth. I didn't have a bachelor party. When did I? No, absolutely not. Because when I asked my wife if she would marry me, I was already committed to her. I wasn't waiting to be committed. I didn't have one more night of freedom. Come on, that's stupid. If that's the way you look at it, you have no idea what marriage is even for. Bachelor parties are for morons. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glad I got that out. Bachelor, but I said I ain't going to be any part of that. Why? Because it's a breakdown of marriage. When you start a marriage on the premise that you need one more night of freedom to go out and whore around, then you've already started it wrong. And it shows me you don't care about it. Yeah. Well, glory to God. And I won't support it or anything else. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know Ryan will get me on all that, but it was good. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you judge your faithfulness, and this is really important, I want you to hear me on this. If you judge your faithfulness, we haven't even gotten barely any scripture yet. If you judge your faithfulness by your standard, you will always, 100% of the time, miss it. This is what the world does. I'm a good person. By whose standard are you a good person? By your own standard? Because you made you happy? Because you thought you were okay? You're a good person? That didn't make you a good person. Bible says that there's no good people. Why? Because we're inherently sinful. God says that isn't good. Praise the Lord. But if you judge your faithfulness by your standard, well, I was faithful. I did this for a couple days or whatever. No, you got to judge it by God's standard. And there's so much in the Bible about faithfulness, even a lot of stuff I can't even get to today. Not even because I'm just preaching long, just because there's a lot about it. We have to judge our faithfulness by His standard. Lord, am I doing what You've asked me to do? What would be faithful? What would be faithful is saying, Lord, going before God and saying, Lord, I don't care what I want to do. I don't care what I like. I don't care what matters to me. What is Your plan for my life? And then, no, it's not just doing that. And then doing it. Lord, what is Your plan? What do You have for me to do? Well, Jeff, I want you to go pastor a church in Mayville. Then that's what I'll do. Jeff, I want you to go out and start another church in Corey, PA. That's what I'll do. See, listen, you do what God, and that proves your faithfulness. If you're like, well, I want to do that for You, God, but I got all this going on. You're not faithful. You don't care a lick about God. You don't care about His kingdom. You care about yourself. Because, listen, like God, it's just like the tithe. God, it's always easy to do what God has you to do if you do it first. Yeah. First. If you put God first, it's always easy to do it. People say, I can't tithe. Well, why can't you tithe? Well, because I don't make enough money. No, you will make enough money if you tithe. Yeah. Have we not learned that? Hallelujah. I can have hands raised in here about people that have learned that. If you do what God says first, you always have room to do it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But I remember people have said to me, and I remember time thinking of this, well, Sunday's my only day off. It's my only time to rest. Oh, you don't think being in the presence of the Lord is restful? You don't think learning the Word of God to change your life, which causes rest to come to you and peace and joy in your life, you don't think that's restful? See, you might hear me hoot and holler for a few minutes. Really, an hour out of your day, big deal. I mean, you'll waste that watching commercials in a week. You know what I mean? But if you take an hour out of your day and you listen to it and then let it change you and let do what the Word says, guess what happens? That peace starts following you all the time. You live in God's peace. And so you're always rested. You see, people that don't go to church because they need to... Now, I'm not talking about, like, listen, there's always times where there's times for us to, you know, where we have to have vacations and stuff like that and downtime. I'm not saying that. If you're going through some symptoms in your body because you've been really busy or something and you need to just take some downtime, that's understandable. I'm talking about people who habitually come find every reason to not do what God wants them to do or said for them to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you habitually have a reason, there's people that are just living their life. I know people who build businesses and reject God. They're Christians, but they live their life to build the business. And so someday they're going to stand before Jesus and He's going to say, what did you do? How were you a steward with what I gave you? And they're going to be like, well, I built this business that didn't get anybody saved. Made me lots of money. Praise the Lord. But it didn't get anybody saved. Yeah. Meanwhile, there's people going to hell because you weren't doing what you... See, it's got to matter to you. If you say to somebody that people are going to hell, if you had an inkling or a clue of what that meant, you would do everything in you to stop that from happening. You wouldn't be casual about somebody you know going to hell. You wouldn't be casual about somebody around you going to hell. it would twist you up on the inside, thinking that, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying we live in twisted up, but what I'm saying is that we have to have a sober reality of what it means. It's not all about you. And someday you'll answer for a year, or take a few, and the rest of the time you live with it will either heaven or hell. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, Hebrews 11:6, we already talked about that. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What is diligently seeking him? It is faithfulness. Over and over and over. Diligently seeking him isn't going to him, God, do this, and this, or Lord, I want to be close to you, and then you just forget about it and go on and do everything else. No, diligently seeking him is coming back to it, and then, you know, going and doing it, and coming back to it. And, you know, I'm diligently seeking God. I'm always got my heart before the Lord. Look, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you think about this? And think about God. I'm always trying to think about God. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but that's what I try to do. And as I do that more, that's why my life is blessed. Turn with me to Philippians. Actually, I told you I had a bunch of scriptures. Just look at Philippians 3:8 in the Amplified up here. Look at this. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That right there is such a mouthful. Yes, I count everything as loss compared to this. It is a priceless privilege, an overwhelming preciousness, a surpassing worth and supreme advantage to know Christ Jesus, our Lord. To know him the way that we do. To be able to sit here and hear about the Lord and what he has for us. It is an overwhelming privilege for us to experience that. And yet people don't get it. Of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. For his sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may win and gain Christ. What is this saying? It's not saying that you just have to give up every worldly possession. It's saying that compared to Jesus, it's nothing. It is not even worthy of, praise God. It is not even worthy of thought compared to Jesus. Only in the kingdom of God can you receive the answers and help for your life. When you have a struggle, when you have a trial, God wants you full. He wants you helped. He wants you to win, to be a conqueror on that. But you're only going to find it through his kingdom. You will not find it in your natural life. And this is what faithfulness teaches us. Faithfulness to constantly come before God and constantly come to God and hear from him, hear from his word and get it in you and get to know his Holy Spirit and to have God talking to you and speaking to you and helping you through things. Listen, your problem is not this or that. Your problem is faithfulness. You need to be faithful to God because God always gives us the answers. There's been times in our lives where we've had situations, even as good Christian people, we've had times in our lives where we have been with the kids or whatever, and we're like, we don't know what to do now. But what does God do? He shows us. Think about what you don't know what to do. I know that some of you deal with things. I don't know what to do. You've come to me, I don't know what to do about this. Or you've come to me and expressed, I don't know what to do about this, you know, in some way, by what you're saying. But what you need is you need faithfulness to God. I'm not saying that you're not faithful to God, but I'm saying faithfulness to God you can bank on, he will show you. What do I need to do here? What about when your kids are sick? Lord, show me. Be faithful to God. Lord, show me what I have to do. Show me the right path. Lord, this is what we need. We need this. We need to be able to pay our bills this month. And we don't know how we're going to do it. Lord, show me how to do this. Lord, our kids are going through something and I don't understand what it is and I don't know how to help them. Lord, show me how to help them. See, if you're faithful to go before God, see, a lot of times what we do is we just think about it and then we get mad about it, we get upset about it, and then we think about it some more. But we never think about going to God and saying, Lord, show me faithfulness. To go before God and say, Lord, show me what the issue is. And maybe the Lord will show you an issue of something you got to change in you. Praise the Lord. I love Christians that get caught up in all these get-rich-quick schemes. It's the ultimate epitome of foolishness. They got this scheme and this scheme because they need to get more money. If you just be faithful to God, He would provide everything for you. You would have abundance so much so that you wouldn't even know what to do with it. He says your cup runs over, but guess what? It doesn't come overnight. It comes with time and faithfulness and patience. And because it comes with time, faithfulness, and patience, people don't want it because they have the drive-through mentality. Well, I want it right now. You know what? Sometimes you don't get it right now. Sometimes you wait just a little bit longer for it, and that's okay. Amen? Praise the Lord. Faithfulness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you want what the kingdom offers, then you must operate according to kingdom principles. If you sit in church, and you all are, praise God for you. You did great today. Glory to God. You came out. You came hungry for the word. You came here for a reason. If you want what God offers, then you can only get it through kingdom principles. Faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to the word. You know, people don't like if you only hear the word when you come to church, or when you listen to something on TV, or when you hear something, if you don't pick up your word and read it in the week, you are not faithful. And you are not going to receive from God what He has for you, because you are not getting in to the instructions that He told you. If you are not meditating in His word at all, if you don't think about His word, if it just collects dust until Sunday, you're not faithful. Listen, we can't just live our lives and expect that it can be lived separate from God if we want what God has. I tell you this because it really comes down to this. And this is really the truth of the matter, is get off the fence. Go one way or the other. Stop coming here. And I'm not saying because I don't want people to come here. You know, I love people coming here. I want people to come. But what I'm saying is what we have for you will not help you if you are not faithful to get into it and say, you know what? I'm going to forsake what I knew because what God has for me is so much better. You see, that's what we have to understand. If we forsake what we knew, that's what Paul was saying there. He's saying, this stuff doesn't compare to Jesus. If you've recognized this, well, praise the Lord. If you've been coming here more than 3 times and you don't know that Jesus is important, that it's about Him, praise God for you. I feel for you because you're missing so much. It's all about Jesus. All of it is. When you say, I can't, what you're saying is Jesus isn't important to you enough to do it. That's really what you're saying. You can say anything you want. Praise the Lord. I've told my kids a million times, don't ever tell me I'm sorry. I don't want to hear I'm sorry. Right? I don't want to hear I'm sorry. All I want you to do is to change it. If you know that you've been wrong, then change it. I don't want to hear I'm sorry about it. I don't want to hear excuses about it because that doesn't tell me anything. Listen, excuses, all excuses do is show everyone else your conscience is being seared. Yeah. That's it. If you have an excuse, it's just showing that your conscience is, I wasn't here because of this. I didn't serve because of this. I didn't read my word because of this. I didn't pray because of this. Your conscience is just, that's all you're doing is showing everybody else how seared you are. Wow. Your conscience is. Wow. What it's saying is that it wasn't important enough to you to do those things. Because if it is, then you will. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We don't like to hear we're sorry. We just like to, listen, my kids can have consequences in my sight. There's nothing they can do I wouldn't forgive them for. Praise the Lord. There's nothing you could do I wouldn't forgive you for. Nothing that you could do I wouldn't forgive you for. But I'm going to tell you this, that doesn't mean that you just have free course to do whatever you want to do, you know? I mean, there's got to be boundaries, amen? God loves us, amen? That's why He teaches us. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, therefore now, therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. This is who His covenant is with. Everything, every blessing of God, every prayer that you want answered happens in one place, and that's your covenant. Listen, if you don't have a covenant with God, you don't have prayers answered. God ain't answering your prayers. If you haven't received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, God is under no requirement and will not answer your prayers. You can pray all day long, you ain't getting nothing. All you're doing is you might as well say, twinkle, twinkle, little star, you ain't doing a lick of anything. Yeah. Nothing. You aren't getting anywhere if you don't know God. If you haven't received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the one thing that He requires you to do, if you haven't done that, then you receive nothing from God. You will go without. Yeah. What do I mean by receiving Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Does not just mean that you receive him once at salvation. Do you receive the truth of the word? The Bible says that this, the word of God is Jesus. Jesus is the word. Amen? So if we can't separate this, if you don't receive what is written, what is preached, ooh. If I'm preaching out of the word and you're not receiving it, you're not receiving God. You don't have any right to ask him for anything. If you reject the word of God, you have no right. Let me say this again. If you reject the word of God, you have no right to ask him for anything. Nothing. So I'm going to save you some time. You can reject the word of God, but I'll save you some time. Don't bother praying. Don't waste your time praying. If you want your prayers answered, you have to do things the way that the kingdom works. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is what you make a habit of. You know what you're faithful to by what you give yourself to. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's people. This is we give our kids options. We gave our kids options. We gave Mark an option. Actually, we don't give our kids options because we gave Mark an option. We found out that it just wasn't worth it. Well, we gave Mark an option. Mark was running cross country. Now, in this particular instance, I'm not saying all sports are like this or whatever. You have to judge us yourself. But I said, if it comes to taking you out of church, it's not, you're not doing it. He was okay with it. His coach was okay with that until the first time they had a meet that was at the same time of church. And what did the coach start doing? Started bad-mouthing our religion and what we believe, because although they agreed to it, now they don't. Yeah. And so what do we do? You're all done with cross country, because cross country doesn't. He's got to run cross country. I told him this. I said, you're going to run cross country one more year. One more year, I said, you're going to run it. But what you learn in church, you will take with you the rest of your life. It will help you every day of your life. It will help you conquer every mountain you're ever going to face. Cross country going to do that? Congratulations. You'd always like, let's send our kids. But what do? We have sporting events that take, my wife was telling me about one school friend of hers. The kid was in this sporting, whatever sporting event, and it consumed 7 days of the week of their life. 7 days a week of their life. Listen, your kid can't be learning about God, and then they wonder why their kids won't serve God. Yeah. And you know what else they're going to wonder? They're also going to wonder when they stand before Jesus and say, why is my kid not entering heaven? Why is my kid in hell? Yeah. It's not Jesus' fault. It's because you didn't put them in church. It's because you didn't get the word in them. It's because you didn't teach them the importance of faithfulness. Yeah. Because they teach faithfulness, and they are teaching the principle of faithfulness, but it's to everything else other than God. And then they wonder, why do my kids have nothing to do with God? It's because of faithfulness. Yeah. Faithfulness is what gets us there. It's what breaks through the bondage. It's what gets us over. It's what, you know, and I understand it's not always easy to be faithful. God understands that. But that's why he came to help us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I can't finish. Philippians 3:12. I knew that there was so much. There was so much in this that the Lord wanted to get out. And I know we have some first-time visitors here. You know, we try not to like. I'm not trying to be like mean or anything like that. But you understand when something. If your kid was running to a road, and you know that if your child was running to a road and there was a car coming and they were about to be plastered on the road, what would you do? Would you stand there and tell them a poem or try reading them a poem and saying, well, we'll have a 10-minute sermon and God loves you and it's all good because God loves you and you don't ever have to worry about anything? You don't ever have to do anything? Is that what you would do and watch your kid be killed? Or would you stop them and say, see, this is what we do in this church. We preach the word. We teach the word because when you go out there, like even though sometimes you may hear it, like today, I know it's somber and it's a little bit more, you know, it's kind of heavy and stuff like that. But you understand this. If you take what I teach you out there, that's where the joy. You don't need to come to church for your joy. You need to come to church to learn how to live in joy. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Praise the Lord. That means corrects. I know correction isn't a very popular thing. Philippians 3:12. I got to get going. Stop interrupting me. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. Paul said this. If Paul was not perfected, let me tell you, you ain't going to be. Hallelujah. Paul did a lot of stuff for the body of Christ, most of which you ain't even thought of yet. I mean, that's what Paul did. So this is some encouragement here. Amen? Not that I've already attained. You haven't already attained it. Paul didn't already attain it. You haven't either. or am already perfected, but I press on. Praise the Lord. I press on. I press on. What does press on mean? Praise the Lord. Well, you know, when you got lots of grapes in this region, hallelujah, and those grapes are on those vines and they're not worth much just sitting there on those vines, but what do? They take those grapes and they collect those grapes and then they press those grapes and then they send that juice out and they make lots and lots of money. Then it's very valuable when it's pressed. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we need to be pressed. Sometimes we need to press through, get to the other side, because that's where the sweetness is on the other side. That's where the new wine is. That's where the filling is on the other side. That's where the, praise the Lord, that's show me the money on the other side, glory to God. That's what it is. Sometimes we got to press through when it's hard. Listen, if you listen to a message and it's hard to hear it, praise God for it. Press through it. Get to the other side. Do it and watch how God meets up with you and carries you through. That's what we're doing, amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He's already got laid hold of it. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things. This is important for you. And I know because there's several of you, many of you, that I've talked to that have things from their past. I am a person with things in my past. If that is you and you struggle with things in your past, listen to this right now. This is a scripture for you. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and doing what? Reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, that mind of pressing forward into the upward call. Doesn't mean you've obtained, doesn't mean you're perfect. If you came in here today and you said, all you did all day long was step all over my toes, praise God. If you press forward, if you press on towards that upward call, it doesn't matter if you screwed it up before. You haven't got to see. Listen, the Bible says there is therefore no condemnation. You don't have to sit there and be condemned as long as you change. But if you don't change, then the condemnation is on you. I can't stop that. Praise the Lord. God doesn't want us condemned. You could screw up everything in your life and be 90 years old. It doesn't matter. God's still got something good for you. Press on. Press on. Press through. Praise the Lord. Don't get offended. Just get like, hey, you know what? That was a word. The word is good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I was going to go through Acts 10. 1 through 4. I want you to write it down. If you take notes, write Acts 10, 1 through 4, and read on. And this man, Cornelius, he was talking about, it shows how his the things that he did, his faithfulness was brought up before God as a memorial. There's a memorial in heaven because of what he did, his faithfulness towards God. Go to, there's also, I don't have it, right up, 1 Kings or 2 Kings. We read about Elijah and Elisha. When Elijah was being taken, Elisha wouldn't leave Elijah. Faithfulness to do what he was doing. And then when it was time for him to walk into what he had, his faithfulness was shown in by how he served someone else. Praise the Lord. We're going to end with Proverbs 20. Very scripture. This is a scripture that you need to have in you. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Look at this. A faithful man or woman will abound with blessings. Abound with blessings. But he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. A faithful man. What's a person who hastens to be rich? It's somebody who will do whatever they have to do to get money, even if at the sake of putting down what God has for them to do. A faithful man will abound in blessings. If you want to be a faithful man, women, you can be a faithful man too. This is not talking about man just as a male man. Not like a mailman that delivers your mail, but as a human mailman, you know. I don't have to describe what that is, but we know what males are and what females are, right? We know that in this church, hallelujah. It's not confusing, but it doesn't matter if you're male or female. God holds nothing against you. He's not for one. Well, he might be for women a little bit more than men. A lot of people don't realize that, but praise God. If you're faithful, you will abound with blessing. Everything you need will be there. Everything you desire will be there. Praise the Lord, because that's what God wants to do. Now, it takes work to get there. It ain't going to happen overnight. But if you're faithful, God will take you there. I promise you, He'll take you there. Praise the Lord. And guess what? There's only one way you're going to know. by being faithful and finding out. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we praise you and worship you. You're so good to us. You're so good, Lord. We love you because you were so good to us. Lord, you would deliver your word so we could be set free, so we could walk in all that you have for us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. It's on my spirit, in my spirit, just to tell you right now, I do not take advice or listen to more than just in a passing, fleeting thought. Do not take advice or listen to somebody who is not faithful. If they aren't faithful, I do not even consider what they say to me. Praise the Lord. I'm saying that for your own benefit. If there's somebody giving you advice, if there's somebody trying to help you out of something and they're an unfaithful person, unfaithful to God mostly is what I'm talking about, but just an unfaithful person, they aren't worth listening to. Praise the Lord. They're worth helping, but they're not worth listening to. Amen. Father, we praise you. We praise you. You're so good. We love you so much. We know that your word is good. We know your word is to help us. Your word is to set us free, free from that bondage, the condemnation, the place of being like, I'm worthless. I don't know what to do with myself. Lord, you set us free from that because you love us so greatly. Love us so greatly. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I see that. I see that right now. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but there's somebody sitting in this service today. And I'm going to believe the Lord's going to speak to you about who you are. But there's somebody sitting in this service today that maybe you haven't been as faithful as you could have been. Maybe there's some areas where you know that this is talking about you. But I'm here to tell you something. By the Spirit, right now, I'm telling you, I just saw this. You were brought before me. Praise the Lord. So listen. You're brought before me, so listen. You may not have been as faithful as you could have been, but there is a faithful heart in you, a desire to be right. And the Lord sees that. And because he sees that, he wants you to know it's important to him. Don't live in condemnation. Don't live in that place of constantly being condemned by these things. But take what is said today and use it to thrust your life into that goodness all around that God has for you. Because the heart to do so is already in you. See, the thing is if the heart wasn't in you, you wouldn't keep being brought back to that same place. But because the heart is in you, God wants to use that. But there's also a warning to go along with that. And I want to share this with you, so please listen. You can only reject that leading so many times before you become callous to it and you will not hear it anymore. And when that time comes, it will be near impossible for you to get back on and get right. So get it right while you feel it, while you sense it now, while it comes to you now. Get it right before God. It doesn't mean that you have to come to people. You don't even have to come to me. Don't do that. Just get it right before God. Remember what I said about the child apologizing or saying I'm sorry. Just get it right before God. Just make a decision. Say, this is the path I want. And I also sense as I say this, and I was speaking this to specifically a person, but I also sense that this goes to several people. And I'm not pointing you out. I only saw one, but I can't see all of them. But I'm just telling you that if it's you, if that sits right with you, if you're right, yes, that's what I sense that's true for me. Then take hold of that and run with it because it's for you. Amen. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. See, that's some of those gifts of the Spirit that we talk about before service in operation. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, please, nobody look around. Lord, I thank you for everybody here. I thank you, Lord, that everybody by the sound of my voice has been able to hear your word today. But Father, we know that the most important thing is that they receive salvation. And so this is the question I want to ask you. If you've, I want everybody in this place, we ask this question every week. But if you've been here, it doesn't matter if you've been here for a whole time or if you've been to any church for 100 years, all that matters is what you believe and what you've received. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's an automatic. It will happen if those things are in place. And so I ask you, do you know if you were to die today that you would be in heaven? And if your answer to that question is no, then you need to get right. You need to know. Because that's the first door to open to all the blessing of God. And that's what I was talking about earlier. You receive His Son, you can receive from Him. But if you don't receive His Son, you don't receive from Him. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and you'd like to today, it's real easy. All heads are bowed, all eyes are closed. All we're going to have you do is lift up your hand real quick. I'll have you put it right back down. And then afterwards, we'll all pray a prayer together as a congregation, and it'll be so. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to today, go ahead and simply just lift up your hand real quick, and I'll have you put it right back down. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Hallelujah. You praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is there any other hands? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, we're going to give one more opportunity. If you have received Jesus, but maybe walked away, and I don't mean made a few mistakes, but you completely walked away from Him, and you'd like to come back today, that's real easy, too. It's the same. We're going to pray the same thing, but we're going to do the same thing, but just lift your hand real quick. Have you put it. Okay, Lord, thank you. You can put those hands down. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for that. Now, see, I know. See, when the Lord leads, when the Lord leads like that, or when the Spirit leads like that, there's always reason for it. Amen. So now, if you raise your hand, I want you to do this. We're going to pray a prayer together. Just say this with your mouth, believe it in your heart, and it shall be. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you came from. All that matters is what you do from now on. Amen. So everybody with me, say, including those who raise their hands. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son, that He died for me and rose again so I could be saved. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins, be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. Amen.